This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Another 60 minutes of old-time radio. This is the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me again this Tuesday. We're going to start this week with an episode from Suspense based on a story by Ray Bradbury titled The Whole Town's Sleeping. First aired July 14th, 1955. Then it's Believe It or Not and Dunder Rock. We'll finish off with Federal Agent and A Killing in London. But first, here's Suspense.
And now, tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Tonight, the story of terror in the streets. We call it The Whole Town Sleeping. So now, starring Miss Jeanette Nolan, here is tonight's suspense play written by Ray Bradbury, The Whole Town Sleeping.
It was a warm summer night in the middle of Illinois country. The little town was deep, far away from everything. Kept to itself by a river and a forest and a ravine. In the town, the sidewalks were still scorched. The stores were closing and the streets were turning dark. Screen doors whined their springs and banged. And there was the sound of Grandma Hanlon's swing hammock across the street. On her solitary porch, Lavinia Nebs, age 37, very straight and slim, sat with a tinkling lemonade in her white fingers, tapping it to her lips, waiting.
Here I am, Lavinia.
Lavinia turned. There was Francine at the bottom porch step. She was all in snow white and didn't look 35.
I won't be a minute, Francine. I'll just lock the door.
All right. Oh, I do like your dress, dear.
Why, thank you, dear.
You look so well in that color. I'm afraid I could never wear it. It makes me look sallow.
No, it doesn't. I'm sure not. Of course, I've always loved you in white.
Evening, ladies.
Good evening, Mrs. Hanlon.
Oh, good evening.
Where are you ladies going all dressed up so pretty?
To the Majestic Theater, Mrs. Hanlon.
Robert Mitchum's playing and Not as a Stranger.
Won't catch me out in a night like this. Not with the lonely ones strangling women. Lock myself in with my gun. That's what I'm going to do.
I wouldn't worry, Mrs. Hanlon.
What about Eliza Ramsell? You think she's not worrying? Lock myself in with my gun. That's what two ladies should do.
So silly. Silly old woman.
Lavinia, you don't believe all that gossip about the lonely one, do you?
A lot of silly old women who haven't got anything better to do than talk.
Well, just the same, Hattie McDulless was killed a month ago and Roberta Ferry the month before. And now Eliza Ramsell disappearing.
Eliza Ramsell walked off of a traveling man, I bet.
But the others, strangled.
Oh, Francine.
They reached the edge of the ravine that cut the town in two. Stood there. Behind them were the lighted houses. Ahead, deepness, moistness, fireflies, and dark. The ravine had to be crossed to reach the movies. Deep and black as it cut into the hills. Then a creaking bridge to cross over the stream. Then 113 steps up the steep and brambled bank to the other side. The ladies stood there, looking down.
It won't be me coming back tonight, Lavinia. It'll be you. Oh, I'd never, never walk there alone at night. Never.
Bosh.
Well, you can say bosh. But it'll be you alone on the path, not me. Oh, Lavinia, I do wish you didn't live on this side. Don't you get lonely living by yourself in that house?
Old maids love to live alone. Come on, we'll take the shortcut.
I'm afraid.
Oh,
come on, don't be so silly. I'll hold your hand.
Lavinia, cool as mint ice cream, took the other woman's arm and led her down the dark, winding path. into cricket warmth and frog sound and mosquito delicate silence.
Oh, let's run, Lavinia, please.
No. Why should we?
If Lavinia hadn't turned her head just then, she wouldn't have seen it. But she did turn her head, and it was there, back among a clump of bushes, half hidden, but laid out as if she had put herself there to enjoy the soft stars, lay Eliza Ramseau, her face moon-freckled, her eyes like white marble. Then Francine saw it too, and the women stood on the path for a frozen second, not believing what they saw. Lavinia held Francine, and the policemen were all around in the ravine grass. Flashlights dotted about, voices mingled, and the night grew on toward 8:30.
You didn't move her, ladies.
Of course not.
Oh, no, we couldn't touch her. How could we?
And there was nobody? You didn't hear anything? Sounds, anything unusual?
No, nothing. It's the lonely one, isn't it? He did it, didn't he?
Couldn't say, ma'am.
We knew her, you know. She was a friend of ours.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'll have one of my men walk you across the ravine.
That won't be necessary. Thank you very much. We'll be all right.
Oh, Lavinia.
Come along, dear.
And they crossed the ravine, each with their own thoughts, fears. And the creek waters under the bridge whispered, I'm the lonely one. I'm the lonely one. I kill people. Then they were at the top of the stairs and bathed in safe light from the street lamp.
I've never seen a dead person before. It's only a little after 8:30. We'll pick up Helen and get on to the show.
The show? Oh, Lavinia, you don't mean it.
Of course I do. We've got to forget this. It's not good to remember.
But Eliza's back there.
We need to laugh. We've got to pretend that nothing happened.
But she was our friend.
We can't help her. There's no good brooding about it. I'm going to get it out of my mind, and you should too. Now, if we hurry, we won't miss too much.
I thought you'd never come. You're an hour late.
Well, someone found Eliza Ramseau dead in the ravine.
Oh, no. Eliza. Who found her?
Oh, we don't know.
Oh, how awful. Did you see her? Was it terrible?
Let's not talk about it.
Oh, I really think I should lock myself in my house. I don't think we'd better go tonight.
Of course we will. It's the last showing today. Besides, the lonely one can't kill three ladies. There's safety in numbers. Anyway, it's too soon. The murders come a month separated. Come along, Helen.
Well, oh. I'll get a sweater. You wait for me.
Why didn't you tell her?
About us finding Eliza.
Why upset her? Time enough tomorrow. I told you, tonight we've got to forget. We're going to the show and let's not talk about it anymore. Enough's enough.
The ladies walked downtown and stopped at the drugstore, which was a few doors from the theater. Lavinia bought a quarter's worth of green mint chews. And the druggist dropped the mints into a sack with a silver shovel.
You looked mighty cool this noon, Miss Lavinia, when you was in. So cool and nice, someone asked after you.
Oh?
Yeah, man sitting at the counter. He watched you walk out and he says to me, who's that? Just like that, he said. Why, that's Lavinia Nebs, prettiest maiden lady in town, I says. Beautiful, he says. Beautiful. Where she live?
You didn't give him her address, I hope. You didn't.
Well, maybe I shouldn't have. Oh, I didn't give him the exact address. I said over on Park Street, you know, near the ravine. Kind of casual.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
What did he look like?
Oh, not much, I guess. Wore a dark suit. Pale. Kind of thin. Probably nothing but a stranger passing through. I'm sorry, Miss Lavinia. No charge for the peppermint.
Don't be silly, Mr. Briggs.
Well,
here.
I know what we're going to do right now. We're going straight home.
That man asking after you. You're next, Lavinia. You want to be dead in that ravine?
It was just
a man, that's all. It doesn't mean a thing.
That's what I figured. Nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about?
I'm not going to miss the movie. You two can do what you want. I'm going.
Well, I think we should all go home.
So do I. She's right, Lavinia.
No, she's not.
They argued for 5 minutes, then the three of them went to the theater. Francine and Helen reluctantly. Lavinia, head high, self-possessed, cool. In the auditorium, they sat in the odor of ancient brass polish, waiting for the second show to begin. And the lights began to fade.
It's him. Oh, stop the movie. Stop it. Put on the light. It's the murderer. The lonely one. He's here. Put on the light. Light!
The drugstore clock said 11:25. They'd come out of the theater feeling new. And now they were laughing at Francine. And Francine was laughing at herself.
You see how silly it was, all that riot for nothing.
When you went running up the aisle, seeing life, honestly, I thought I'd die.
Oh, that poor man.
The theater manager's brother from Racine. Oh, Francine.
Well, I did apologize.
Now, you see what a panic can do. And all for nothing.
We shouldn't have stopped for sodas, though.
Wasn't that a wonderful picture? Will you ever forget?
The streets were clean and empty. Not a car or a truck or a person was in sight. The ladies walked under a flickering neon sign, buzzing like a dying insect. The sounds of their heels sharp on the baked pavement.
First, we'll walk you home, Francine.
Oh, no, I'll walk you home.
If you walked me home, you'd have to come back across the ravine alone. I know you. If a leaf even fell on you, you'd drop dead.
Well, I could stay the night at your house.
No, it's all settled. First, I'll take you home, and then Helen.
Lavinia, Helen, stay here with me tonight. It's late. Mrs. Murdoch has an extra room.
No, thanks. I don't sleep well away from my own bed.
Oh, please, Lavinia, please. I don't want you dead.
Now, you've got... Stop this. I mean it. I promise I'll call you the very minute I get home.
Now, will you? Will you really?
I promise.
And Helen, you make her promise you to call.
I will.
Well, good night. Be careful.
Now, I'll walk you home.
The courthouse clock struck the hour. The sounds went across a town that was empty. Emptier than it had ever been before. Over empty streets and empty lots and empty lawns, the sound went.
10, 11, 12.
I don't suppose it's any use asking you to stay, Lavinia.
There's no reason for me to.
You've acted so strangely tonight.
I'm just not afraid, that's all. And I'm curious, I suppose... Of course, I'm using my head. I mean, logically, the lonely one can't be around. Not now, with the police and all.
Did you ever think that maybe your subconscious doesn't want you to live anymore?
You and Francine, honestly, Helen.
Well, I feel so guilty. I'll be drinking a cup of coffee just about the time you get to the ravine. And...
Ooh, that awful bridge in the dark.
You will call us the minute you get home, won't you? I won't sleep a wink if you don't.
I'll call. Now, good night.
Lavinia Nebs walked down the midnight street, down the late summer silence. She saw the houses with their dark windows, and far away she heard a dog barking. She thought to herself,
in 5 minutes, I'll be safe at home. In 5 minutes, I'll be phoning Francine and Helen.
They're so silly. Like old hens. Old. I'm older than either of them.
She heard a man's voice singing away among the trees, and she walked a little faster. And then coming down the street toward her in the dimming moonlight was a man.
Well, look who it is. What a time and night for you to be out, Miss Nebs.
Officer Kennedy. Oh, I'm so glad it's you.
Something wrong, Miss Nebs?
No, nothing at all. I'm just glad it's you.
You know you shouldn't be out now.
I know. I've been to the movies. It is late.
Yeah, come on. I better see you home.
Oh, no. I can make it fine.
Yeah, moon's going behind the trees. Be pretty dark.
I'm not afraid of the dark, Mr. Kennedy.
You sure you'll be all right?
Quite sure.
All right, tell you what. I'll wait here till you cross. If you need help, just give a yell and I'll come running. I'll check by your house later on my way back.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
As she walked away, she thought,
I won't walk in the ravine with any man. How do I know who the lonely one is? No, thank you.
Then the ravine. She stood on top of the 113 steps, down the steep, brambled bank that led across the creaking bridge 100 yards and up through the black hills to Park Street.
3 minutes from now, I'll be putting my key in the house door. Nothing can happen. Nothing.
She started down the dark green steps into the deep ravine night.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
The ravine was deep.
11.
And the world was gone.
15.
The world of safe people in bed.
15,
the locked door.
17.
The town. The drugstore. Theater. Lights.
21.
Everything was gone.
23.
Only the ravine existed.
25.
And lived. Black and huge around her.
9, 30, 1. Nothing happened. No one around, is there? Remember that old ghost story you told each other when you were children? About the dark man coming into your house and you upstairs in bed. Now he's at the first step coming up to your room. Now the horrid man is at the 12th step, opening the door. Now he's standing by your bed. Ah! What? What's this? There at the bottom of the step. The man under the light. No. He's gone. He was waiting there. On the bridge. Fool. That story I told myself. How silly. Shall I call Mr. Kennedy? Did he hear me scream? Or did I scream? Maybe I only thought I did. Then he didn't hear me at all. I'll go back up. Go to Helen and sleep there tonight. No. It's nearer home now.
Suddenly still. The crickets were listening. The night was listening to her. Then there was a sound. Only a woodchuck, surely, beating a hollow log. But it was Lavinia Nebs. It was most surely the heart of Lavinia Nebs. She went down the steps faster, faster. Run. She heard music. In a mad way, a silly way, she heard the surge of music that pounded at her. Rush, launching her faster and faster down, down into the pit of the ravine.
On the end of the way. Across the bridge. Run! Run! Don't turn! Don't look! If you see him, you'll not be able to move! Just run!
And across the bridge, up the path between the hills, the top of the path, the street. And even with the light, the fear swirled about him, closing in, pressing.
If I get home safe, I'll never go out alone. I was a fool, never again! If you let me get home, but this, I'll never go out again, alone. I promise. Please. Please, let me. Please. Please, please. Get me time to get inside and lock the door. And I'll be safe. Oh, safe at home. Safe. Safe at home. Listen. Not a sound. Oh, wait. Oh, wait. Oh. The window. I can't run as fast as a man. I wasn't running from anything except me. The ravine was safer than safe. Oh, it's nice to be home, though. Home's a really good, warm, safe place. The only place.
She had just put her hand out to the light switch when she heard it behind her in the blackness. Just a movement.
What? What? Who is it?
Suspense, in which Miss Jeanette Nolan starred with Paula Winslow, Eve McVeigh, and Bill Conrad in tonight's presentation of Ray Bradbury's The Whole Town Sleeping, adapted by Anthony Ellis. Next week, the story of a fishing cruise and bait that was a life insurance policy. We call it Over the Bounding Main. That's next week on Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by Anthony Ellis. The music was composed by Lucian Marowick and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Featured in the cast were Tom McKee, Florence Walcott, Tom Brown, and Will Wright. Thursday night, The Whistler brings mystery on the CBS Radio Network.
Yaga, a Hindu fakir, buried himself in sand with only his arms exposed to extend a begging bowl to people passing by 6 hours each day for 12 years, believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you how Dunder Rock got its name. History tells of many great naval battles, but one of the most unusual sea battles that never took place happened in Dunder Rock on Lake Champlain near Burlington, Vermont. Dunder Rock so resembles the outline of a gunboat that a Dutch captain mistook it for an enemy vessel and fired a broadside at it. The stone got its name from the captain's exclamation when he discovered his mistake. Dunder was a blunder, believe it or not.
Federal agent. Federal agent, backbone of today's modern crusade against crime. Scotland Yard, France Sûreté, American Bureau of Investigation, Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Federal agents from all countries join hands to blast criminal activity from the face of the earth. Midnight in foggy London, and society is slumming in Limehouse, when suddenly one of its foremost members, young Tommy Fawcett, is shot down in cold blood. Before any policemen come to the scene, the assassin disappears, but Scotland Yard draws its net over dismal London. And all through the night, the police scrupulously comb every suspicious hideout for the criminal.
You bloke there under the lamppost, what's your business?
Just passing away the time.
There's no lighting around here. Now get moving.
Where are you heading for, young fellow?
East End, sir.
Well, let's see your license. Oh, all right. Proceed.
Yes?
Seen any rough-looking characters around here, lady?
How can a person tell what another person looks like in all this fog?
Early the next morning.
Who is it, please?
Scotland Yard.
Won't you come in?
Thank you.
You'll find Judge Fawcett in the study. Please, Inspector, he's mighty broken up.
I understand.
Come right this way, sir.
But don't you suspect any one particular person, Judge Fawcett?
Oh, how can I, Inspector? During this last month alone, I have sent 15 men to Dartmoor Prison. And everyone vowed to avenge himself on my family.
That place where it happened.
It might have been any place in Limehouse. Tommy and his gay friends frequented many clubs of that sort. Undoubtedly, he was followed there.
I see. Then our only hope is to weed out all of Limehouse.
Oh, but isn't that an endless task?
It might be, except for this one thread of evidence. Look.
A revolver? You mean...
No, no, Judge. I'm not sure that this is the murderer's revolver. We found it near the bar after the shooting, however. It might have been dropped there by any one of many people. And another thing, this is a very weak link.
Why, Inspector?
Because there were no bullets in the carriage when we picked it up, and only one shot had been fired.
Yes, only one shot.
Sit down, Harmon.
Thank you, Inspector.
Now, as your first assignment from Scotland Yard, you are to find the murderer of Tommy Fawcett.
Poor kid. Shot down in cold blood.
That's what makes this criminal so dangerous. He'd do it again.
I understand.
Now, one thing is sure. He hasn't been able to leave England. In fact, he's still in London.
Then the chances are that he's hiding out someplace in Limehouse.
That's the way we feel about it. However, we're not sending you out cold.
Oh, you have some kind of clue?
Yes. Here's a copy of the fingerprint taken from a revolver found at the scene of the crime. You see, in the first place, we're not sure it's the murderer's weapon.
I see.
So you have two jobs. One, to match this fingerprint.
And the other?
To draw out a confession if he is guilty.
All right, Inspector. I'm on my way.
Good luck, Harmon. But remember, it may take you a day, or a week, or a month.
Not 1 month, but 6 months later, Harmon is working in Limehouse as a piano player in Mully's, where Tommy Fawcett had been murdered.
Beautiful music, Blondie. Do you know the old roast beef of England?
Now, that reminds me, gorgeous. I have to wait on that table in the corner. I'll be back in a minute. There. What'll it be, mister?
Well, make it a whiskey and soda, and don't stop to play no tune on the way.
Oh, so you don't like my music, eh?
Sure, I likes music, but I like whiskey better.
Right, here, boss. Coming right up. So, you like my music now, darling?
Oh, sure, Blondie. After three whiskeys, anybody in Limehouse would like your music.
Well, as long as the whiskey holds out, I'm sure of my job.
For a guy who works for a living, you're pretty regular. How about Annie Laurie?
Right, Al. But it'll cost you another drink.
Aye, wise up. Bring over a couple of whiskies.
Well, Inspector, it took more than half a year, but I've matched the fingerprints.
And who is it, Harmon?
His name is Dud Doran, a pickpocket.
Know anything about him?
Yes, his brother was sent up to Dartmoor 8 months ago for life.
By Judge Fawcett?
By Judge Fawcett.
The versatile Harmon now has his first job completed. By taking the fingerprints on each glass as it was used in the cafe by his customers, he finally came to Doran. After reporting to his inspector, Harmon returns to Limehouse and to Doran.
Come on, Blondie. How's about sitting down here with me?
Sorry, Doran. You know what the boss says. No mixing with the customer.
All right, old fellow. Then I'll go up the piano with you, huh? Come on, let's go. Want another whiskey, Blondie?
Make this one on me. Hey, Crusty. A couple of steak.
Don't you ever get tired flying that thing?
Sure, I get tired, but I like it.
You're a funny guy. What do you like about it?
Oh, makes me remember things.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Here are your drinks. 2 shillings, please.
Take it out of my pie, Crusty.
Well, here's to you, Blondie. And to your memories.
Drink her down, then. And here's to memorize.
Hey. What's that there song you're playing?
Oh, it's just an old one. Name of it's A Long Way Back Home. You know, it reminds me of things.
Yeah? What kind of things?
Oh, just things. Old memories. You know.
You don't know. What's it remind you of?
Oh, all right, don't get excited. I'll tell you. It reminds me of me old man. It's a long way.
Back home?
No, to Dartmoor.
Dartmoor? What's that get to do with you?
Plenty.
Well, wait a minute. Aye, why, sir? Couple more whiskey. Double whiskey.
Now, look here.
What's this here about Dartmoor?
Well, it's... my old man roams there.
What's he up for?
Smuggling.
It's funny. So's my brother.
Well, sometimes I wish I was there, I do. At least he gets fed regular.
Oh, don't you believe it? It's rotten. When's your old man getting out?
He ain't. He's a lifer, he is.
Here you are. Two doubles, like you said. And that makes 4 shilling. And listen, it's not out of your pay, Blandy. And the reason is you ain't got no more pay coming.
Yeah, shut up, you. Here's your money.
Oh, thanks, fella. Well, come on now. Let's drink to the relatives.
Right, y'all. To your old man and my kid brother. Mm.
You know, me old man would like a bit of this, he would.
Yeah, sure. It's a rotten place. They get styled bread, that's all.
I wish I could get the old man out, I
do. There ain't a chance. Too many guards.
Well, I'll make it up to him.
Yeah, that's what I did. I got even.
Yeah. Well, I'll get old Judge Fawcett.
I'll beat you on that one.
You're crazy. The judge is still sending him up there.
Yeah, but I fixed his son up. I mowed him down right here in front of this here cafe.
Oh, now, off a mile. You're kidding.
I ain't kidding. This is what made me think of it. Some guy was playing it right on the piano right here.
Playing? Flying what?
He was flying his long wire back home.
Michael Doran, you have heard the verdict of the jury, and so for the murder of Thomas Fawcett, I hereby sentence you to hang by the neck until you are dead, dead, dead. Next presentation of thrilling stories related to this modern crusade as each nation calls upon its chief bulwark against crime. Federal agent.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. We have more old-time radio coming tomorrow at relicradio.com, where you'll also find links to past episodes of this show and all our other podcasts. There's quite a few of them, all available there. And links to our forum, our Shoutcast stream, and everything else we have going on. That's at relicradio.com. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/relicradio. You can email me at relicradio@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. I'll be back next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.